talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Charleston Fall Home Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good morning, Charleston. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by Eddie Money, Take Me Home Tonight. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Paige Taylor. You know, we always have a what we call a home theme song at the beginning of the show. A home theme song is a song that mentions home or has, revolves around the home. And there's a lot of songs out there, so we always try to give a little snippet of a song that is home theme at the beginning of the show. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every February, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every October. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to go into take kind of a deep dive. We have an occasional series called Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations, and today we'll be talking with general contractor David Partridge with Pear Tree Homes. And then we'll also have a nice interview with Tony Smith with William Smith Fireplaces. Have a great weekend. And now we're talking with general contractor David Partridge with Pear Tree Homes. How are you doing, David?
I'm well, Tim. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Take a moment and tell everyone about Pear Tree Homes.
Sure. So we are a local family-owned residential building company that specializes in large-scale home remodeling and custom homes. Our service area is about a 40-mile radius around North Charleston. We typically work in Johns Island, Kiowa Island, James Island, West Ashley, and Somerville. We offer two different approaches to custom home building, our design build approach and what we call our collaborative approach. And we are fully custom, so your limitation is your imagination.
All right, good deal. Well, this is this interview is a little bit different than the one that we did previously, in that we're going to go into take a little deeper dive. It's part of an occasional series that we have on Talking About a Home called Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations. And so I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. Can you talk about some of the projects that Pear Tree Homes has been involved with going on now or in the past?
Sure. So, I mean, we have a handful of remodel projects right now. We have a custom home build in Edisto Island, Edisto Beach, that we're pretty excited about. Elevated home right near the ocean views. We designed kind of based on that, and it's very open and lots of windows and light, natural light coming in. And we're really excited about that project.
Gotcha.
It's currently in the finishing stages. So we have cabinetry and trim and we're about to start painting.
Gotcha. So you can Pear Tree Homes can help homeowners with a custom home build, and then also a remodel project, if that's what they choose.
That's right. Yep. We focus on larger remodels, so multiple home or multiple rooms, whether it be a kitchen and a bath or a few bathrooms and a laundry room, that kind of thing. And then, like you said, as well as custom homes.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about deadlines. That's a very, very important part of a project, whether it's new construction or remodel. How do you establish a realistic deadline, and what happens when that deadline is not met?
Sure. So, I mean, in the very beginning, during the planning phase of the project, what we call our pre-construction services, we build out a schedule for the entirety of the project, and we're pretty conservative with those each individual items that go onto the schedule, and then we also build in kind of a contingency punch out phase at the end of a project, and we try to be conservative with estimating time and allowing us enough time to do the job right. We will actively manipulate that schedule, adjust it according to what's happening live time, live in the field, so that our clients can kind of track along and see what's going on. And hopefully we do everything right and we get to finish, ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Have you ever had an occasion where the deadline is not met? Maybe the homeowners, dragging their feet on making selections and things like that?
Well, we try to avoid that by, handling all of the selections and get all the answers up front before we start the project. But things happen in construction. It's a fluid thing. And, we've not met our goal, deadline in the past, and we're just transparent with our clients and what's going on and do our best to get things wrapped up, as quickly as possible without sacrificing quality and that kind of thing. So
there you go. Time is money. What are some of the go-to products that you recommend to your clients that are maybe building a custom home or doing a large remodel project? Products that you have proven themselves over time to you and are good values and will hold up?
Sure. When it comes to plumbing, I definitely recommend Kohler. Fixtures and valves and things like that. We've never experienced any issues with Kohler like we have with other brands, which I won't mention, but definitely mention or recommend Kohler. I recommend them spend the money ahead of time, like things like decking, exterior decking. I'd recommend like either a hardwood or composite. I might recommend exterior cladding or trim to be a certain material type that would hold up better in the long run versus something like a natural wood or things like that.
Yeah.
And then on the inside, it just depends on the client's desires. We try to take a holistic approach, build the best home for their needs, but. It depends on what the budget allows. I personally like, pay a lot of attention to craftsmanship and carpentry. And so custom cabinets are a thing that I like to start with. If the budget would allow, I think you're going to end up with a better product in the long run. It's going to be better suited to the client's individual needs and how they live in the home. So I try to start there if we can, and kind of go from there. There's various other smaller items that I guess I would recommend. We always use Advantech as a subfloor. I recommend using the Zip, system for exterior sheathing. Because I think it's a better product than kind of your typical OSB sheathing and house wrap. Mm-hmm. It does a better job of air sealing and keeping elements out. things like that.
What about windows and doors? Do you have a preferential brand?
I don't necessarily have a preferential brand. We've used a lot of different brands. The home we're building now, we're using Sierra Pacific. I think they're called H3 windows, and I'm really happy with them. They function really well. They operate very easily. They're kind of pressure assisted, so you can lift it with a finger, or close it with one finger. And I've been very impressed with that product. We used a Marvin door, really large, like bifolding or trifolding Marvin door on this home. So that should provide plenty of insulation, but also it operates very smoothly. And Anderson is another good brand for windows as well.
Mm-hmm. What about insulating a home? What do you recommend to your clients in terms of the best options to save energy?
Yeah, I personally like rock wool if it's a bat situation, or blown in cellulose. I like spray foam. If the client desires it, I think it's a good product and it does a good job getting into the little nooks and crannies that other kind of blown in or bat applied products don't do very well. Some clients kind of have fears with spray foam and concerns with the toxicity and that kind of thing. I think that's on a personal basis, what the clients desire, point them in that mm-hmm. direction, one way or another.
Are there any other things that matter in a home that are not on the surface that you make a point of recommending to your clients?
Yeah. So, like I said, I try to take a holistic approach from the home and how the clients are going to live in the home. We try to get to know them ahead of time. I'm passionate about details and accuracy. And so, getting to know them, understanding how they're going to use the home. Are they going to leave doors open, closed? Let lots of air in, that kind of thing. And so in understanding that, then I can better make recommendations for how to approach building the home. From an air sealing standpoint, I really like to use zip system sheathing and tape to seal from the outside. That way we're not relying on spray foam to do any air sealing from the inside. We also use fluid applied flashing products to seal from the outside. We prefer to stick frame when we can. A lot of our projects are custom in nature, and so it allows us to do a little bit more than what a truss roof would allow. When we're designing a home, we're looking at where the mechanicals are going, and so we're maybe making suggestions for what the floor system should be made out of. And a lot of times there's, big, large, expansive open spaces. So, floor trusses make a lot of sense in that aspect. And
so you don't have columns in the middle of a living room or something.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And so, when it comes to mechanicals, thinking about mechanicals and where they're going to go is very important. So open web floor trusses are kind of a game changer for that type mm-hmm. of thing. There's lots of aspects to planning a project and really thinking it out in its entirety ahead of time and then making those suggestions to the clients.
How durable are today's homes? And I guess what I'm getting at is, some of the homes that have been built in the historic part of downtown Charleston, They obviously need a lot of maintenance, but it seems like they were using like old growth lumber to build those homes versus today. Southern yellow pine is a softer material, for example, versus like the heart pine material that was part of that old growth. How durable are homes today?
I think, you know, it depends on who's building the home. The old, like you mentioned, the old growth timbers were a 2x4. Back then was an actual 2x4, so they were a little bit larger than today's nominal lumber dimensions. So I think that plays a bit a part of it. But also, everything was stick framed. There's lots of large beams, lots of large timbers in these older Charleston homes. I think today, the tract home market is not a great product, honestly, and they go up really, really quickly, and I think you get what you pay for, and maybe sometimes you don't quite get what you pay for, but it depends on who's building the house, and I think you can certainly build a well-built, well-thought-out house in today's market. And that's what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and when you say track built homes, you're referring to I call them volume builders, ones that are kind of clear cutting, a neighborhood, and then putting up a lot of cookie cutter type homes that one builder is responsible for the entire neighborhood. And you're right, their prices, they're trying to keep prices low on those volume built homes and build them as quickly as possible. When it comes to, and that kind of segues into the next question, when it comes to choosing a builder, what separates great builders from the good ones?
Yeah, I think, a great builder will take the time to get to know their clients and their needs, create that mutual trust. There should be, the client should trust the builder. The builder should trust the client. They are good communicators, good planners. I heard something recently where, what makes a good contractor or a good builder is that they're good at the pre-construction portion of the project and really thinking the whole project through ahead of time, I think is very important. And that's, we're trying to do our best to plan out these projects and communicate with our clients. And a lot of times we experience that they think that maybe we're taking too much time planning out the project, but I think it's very important to understand there's a lot that goes into building a home, and a custom home especially. It's a one-off. That house hasn't been built before, and so we want to take the appropriate amount of time to plan it out and answer all the questions that we have ahead of time. That way, when we're actually in the field building it, we're not experiencing these moments of issues and freakouts and things like that. So.
Yeah, from a homeowner's point of view, they would like to just snap their fingers and the whole home is constructed and they can move in, and it's a lengthy process, and a lot of the work is planned up front, which you've pointed out several times. And so it's a matter of like kind of saying, whoa, let's slow it down. Yeah, I know you're anxious to get things underway, but let's make sure we have all our bases covered before we break ground. And you've kind of touched on this a bit, but do you have any formal systems at Pear Tree Homes or best practices that you use as a builder?
From the very beginning, we have a CRM system that helps us keep track of all of our clients as we kind of progress through. We have a project management software that we use for a lot of things, not only just project management, but also as kind of a customer interface. All of our communication is done through that software. And so that really helps us to stay organized, helps us to document everything that, that goes into planning a project and keep it all in one accessible place. So that's one of our biggest, I'd say, systems or processes is utilizing that software to our fullest capability. And then we have several job site protocols that we use in managing our projects, kind of checklist type things, that kind of thing, as we're moving through the different phases. We have job site safety regulations for all of our team and our subtrades to follow. That way we're maintaining a safe and clean job site. We definitely want everyone to go home at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are some of the systems that we're using, and I think.
How much due diligence should a homeowner engage in when it comes to hiring a builder?
I think you should definitely be making sure that the contractor or builder that you're engaging is licensed. You can check that on the local LLR website. They should definitely have the appropriate licensing for the type of work that they're trying to accomplish. You should make sure that they're insured with general liability insurance, workers' compensation insurance, commercial auto policies. I would even recommend that they have an umbrella policy on top of all of that, just to cover anything that slips through the cracks. Check the reviews. Make sure that they're getting good reviews. Make sure that there's no issues with the Better Business Bureau, that they're in the process of fighting, anything like that. Those are some things that I would definitely look into and be thorough in making sure that they can actually do what they say they can do.
What about asking for numbers or contact info for some of your previous customers?
Yeah, definitely. Several of our past clients have mentioned to us that they'd be willing to kind of do that. And some of the properties that we work on are like second homes or rentals that allow us to, we schedule times to show prospective clients, a project that we've done, or like I said, they'd be happy to talk to that client and explain how what the experience was like working with us and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely a good thing to do, and also checking online, maybe their website or social media pages, just making sure they're actually doing work, and it's good quality work that aligns with, what the client is looking for.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to, I'm sure you get this question, every builder does, tell me what kind of cost per square foot am I going to be looking at? And why is that question inevitable, and how do you as a builder answer that?
Sure. So, I think that question kind of stems from the real estate market and how they kind of put a grasp on what qualifies a home, or what types of homes you're looking at, and kind of grouping them together so that they're similar in nature. And I think the HGTV type things also push people to want to understand what a home would cost per square foot. I answer that question by saying, the type of homes that we build are one-offs, they're prototypes. They've never been built before. And so until we plan a very specific project, for you. I can't really put a number to what that would cost per square foot.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, if you add a metal roof or you add an elevator, and that's going to really skew the cost per square foot versus having a shingles on your roof or not having an elevator, for example, right?
I mean, there's so many things that play a part in driving costs, and until I better understand what a client's desires are and how they plan to live in the home and what they want to include in the home. I mean, are we talking exotic hardwood floors, or are we talking laminate? Are we talking, quartz countertops? Are we talking custom cabinets or semi-custom cabinets? Do they want a pool? There's so many things that really add to the cost, total cost of a home. And until I understand that, I really can't answer that question. So I try not to, because, it would do a disservice to the client. It wouldn't be accurate information.
Yeah, and I've heard stories about some homeowners that have taken the low bid and then they get ready to go pick out their lighting, and it turns out the builder only had $3,000 or $5,000 for an allowance for lighting, for example, and one fixture can easily cost that much, and then all of a sudden the homeowner's having to come out of pocket, and that original low bid that they got turns out not to be accurate. Have you experienced anything like that before?
We have. Unfortunately, in the beginning we were using a lot of allowances, and we have definitely learned over the years that, what you're assuming is one thing, and what the client is assuming is another thing. And that's why we've really started to hammer down and try to get all those details ironed out ahead of time during the pre-construction services that we provide. That way there's no question of what type of flooring we're going to use, or what type of countertops or cabinetry is going into the home. Mm-hmm.
I see building permits that are being issued to the homeowner instead of a contractor. So the homeowner has decided to become their own contractor. That seems like a very daunting thing to do, especially since the homeowner, unless they have a lot of building experience or are a builder themselves, they don't necessarily, they're not going to know the process as well as a professional builder like yourself. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, I agree with you. I think it's if you don't do it every day like we do, it is a daunting task. And I definitely know firsthand it's a lot of management that goes into managing all the different sub-trades and organizing everybody to kind of show up at a certain time and know when to have what done, that kind of thing. I definitely would not recommend a homeowner taking that on. A lot of times, we've had clients or potential clients come to us and when they understand the costs involved, they try to take on something like that themselves to save some money. And I just think it's way more of a headache than they would realize. I would recommend against it for sure.
Yeah. Not to mention the inevitable questions that will come up from the subcontractors, and they may be looking at a set of plans and they say, I don't see how we're going to be able to do that. So they instead of looking to the builder to provide a solution, they're directing those questions at the homeowner. And, so how does a homeowner, how can they figure that out on their own? And I would imagine that you as the GC, you're managing the subcontractors. You're going in and evaluating their work and making sure that everything has been installed the way it was specified, and a homeowner may not be able to know what's right or what's wrong.
That's true. Absolutely right. I mean, I we're looking at these things every day, and we know what to look for, where a homeowner would easily miss some of the details that are really important. And so, yeah, I mean, I definitely would not recommend a homeowner take on a custom home project themselves, for sure.
Right, right.
That's why we're here. We're here to help.
Exactly. You know, when a homeowner is involved in a project, especially a big remodel project or a custom home construction, I have found that the homeowner gets into sort of a euphoric state where the money is just pouring out of the house like like water out of a spigot, and you're spending $100 bills like they're $1 bills, and it's so easy for a homeowner to say, well, might as well, this isn't what we like, what we had budgeted for. Might as well, do it the way we want. This is going to be our forever home or whatever. But how do you, as the builder, help keep the homeowner on budget and avoid, going over budget?
Well, like I said, in the beginning, we build the budget and the schedule together during that planning process. And we want to understand exactly what their ultimate goal and desires are so that we can try to, accomplish that for them. A lot of times we've experienced, clients will believe that something will cost something, and we've set an appropriate budget for it, but then they decide, well, I definitely like this Italian marble and I want it throughout the entire house, and it's triple what our budget was, it's a difficult issue to navigate. But ultimately, if they do plan to stay in the home for a long period of time and they feel that passionate about that particular product, that I would recommend they go with their gut, and it's an emotional thing making these decisions for a home, and if it means that much to them, then I would say let's go ahead and do it. And we do also build in a contingency as a line item in all of our projects for things like this. That way, at the end of the project, we're not, way over budget. So.
Yep, that makes sense. Well, for anyone that is considering having a custom home built or doing a large remodel project, it may be a lot of money, but just think about the life experience that you're going to have in that home and how much more enjoyment you're going to have with your family and so forth in the home of your dreams. And the good news is, Charleston is always the real estate prices are always inflating here. They're not going down. So, at some point in the future, you may decide to sell it and you're going to get back your entire investment. All those dollars you sweated over spending on that project, you're going to get those back and more. So, if someone wanted to speak with you a little bit more about building a custom home or doing a remodel project with Pear Tree Homes, what's the best way to reach you folks?
Sure. I'd say one of the best ways is to call our office at 843-343-5808. Alternatively, they can reach us on the website. There's a form you can fill out, which we will respond back to within the next business day. That's www.peartreehomes.net. Or you can email us at info@peartreehomes.net. And Pear Tree is PEARTREEHOMES.net.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with general contractor David Partridge as part of the occasional series Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations here on Talking About a Home. And you can always find Pear Tree Homes within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
And joining us now is Tony Smith with William Smith Fireplaces. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. How are you today?
Good, good. Tony, take a moment and tell everyone about William Smith Fireplaces.
Well, we like to think that we are the best fireplace option here in the Lowcountry. We have a wide variety of fireplaces, not just fireplaces that burn wood. We have a wide selection of gas fireplaces. Our fireplaces are manufactured both domestically as well as several international brands. So something here for pretty much everyone. The price tags, you know, folks always automatically think about pricing, but there is truthfully a fireplace that can work into pretty much any budget. So be glad to talk with anybody about that.
Excellent. Excellent. And William Smith Fireplaces, you folks have been around a long, long time, right?
We have. We started back in around 2005 here in the Charleston area. We, a couple of years ago, merged with another company here in Charleston called La Haza Hearth and Stone and formed a new company called William Smith Fireplaces of South Carolina. Sort of in tandem with that, we built a brand new showroom at 6420 Dorchester Road in North Charleston, 4,000 square feet of showroom space. We have over 40 working displays of fireplaces here, everything from indoor fireplaces to outdoor fireplaces, gas, wood, electric, something, again, that can meet pretty much anybody's needs when it comes to the fireplace industry.
And when you say working fireplaces, meaning they light up, showing like gas logs or electric options, things like that?
That is correct. Yep. Every fireplace is functional, and we can turn the gas logs on. We can turn on the electric fireplaces so folks can actually get a really good feel of what the fireplace looks like. You know, it's certainly better than a little snapshot that they may see either in a printed brochure or at an online vendor, for example. So come in and see a life-size fireplace, working fireplace, get them a better idea of what it would look like in their own home and setting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and gas logs have really come a long way. I remember when I bought a set of gas logs back in like 1991, my complaint at that time was that there was more of a blue flame than a yellow, you know, the yellow flame that you're used to seeing with a real wood burning fireplace.
Absolutely. Just like pretty much everything else, technology continues to advance. There are log sets now even that actually looks like the flame is burning through the logs. So it certainly has an even more realistic appearance than it did, truthfully, even as recently as 5 or 10 years ago. So folks can have that genuine, authentic look of a fireplace, a wood-burning fireplace, but know that they have the convenience and the cleanliness of a gas fireplace.
So William Smith Fireplaces, when you walk into your showroom, can you kind of take us on a virtual tour? How is your showroom organized, for example?
Sure. So when you walk in the front door, one of the first things you'll see is this large 8 foot long by 24 inch high fireplace. It's by a brand called Stellar Hearth, and it's a purely custom fireplace. But that's what you see right on the left side there. Now, if you turn 180 degrees around to your right, you'd see our vent-free gas logs and fireplaces on display there. Everything, again, from your traditional designs to your more contemporary linear looks. As you proceed around on the perimeter, you'd next come to what's referred to as direct vent inserts. Those are basically fireplaces that are designed to fit inside existing wood-burning fireplaces. Maybe it's a situation in which a chimney is in bad condition, and rather than spending thousands and thousands of dollars for those repairs, this could be a viable option there. So we have several of those. Then continuing on, you enter our outdoor fireplace section. We have 5 different outdoor fireplaces. All of them, 3 of them are ventless fireplaces, meaning there's no chimney or flue that has to vent to, you know, through the home's roof or anything like that. Two of them are what's classified as wood burning fireplaces, but they can accommodate gas logs, which is what you would see here. Then continuing on around the perimeter, we have this really beautiful French fireplace. It's called a focus fireplace, and it is a suspended fireplace with gas logs in it. Moving on then, you've got the electric fireplaces in sort of that back left-hand corner of the showroom. We have five different electric fireplaces displayed there. And then you move, continuing around, we have several direct vent fireplaces. These are the ones that have the glass panel sealed on the front, creating a separate environment inside the fireplace, as opposed to what's going on in your living space there. And that that does provide the most efficient and cleanest form of fireplace that's available today. So coming back around now to the center of the showroom, you've got our wood-burning fireplaces, including a large 72-inch wide fireplace with a set of Eichler Flames gas logs in that. 58-inch set of logs there. So these are big, beefy logs. If someone has this massive fireplace and they're looking for something to install there, the Mambo log set by Eichler Flames is a wonderful option. We also have in that wood-burning section, we have different types of media. Yes, we have your traditional gas logs, but we also have the more historic-looking coal fire baskets that are gas-powered, and a set of very contemporary fireballs made by Rasmussen gas logs. So that pretty much rounds out what they would see as far as the map of our showroom, so to speak.
Wow, that's impressive, and very good description too of your showroom. I'm looking at the William Smith Fireplaces ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine, and one of the fireplaces I'm looking at, it must be the one you just mentioned, something about fireballs.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, can you describe that for our listeners? What that looks like?
Sure. So, you know, there are folks out there who want to move away from your more traditional log options for the interior of their fireplaces. So this company called Rasmussen is one of the manufacturers who has come out with gas with these fireballs. They have vent-free fireballs and they have vented fireballs. Numerous color options available on those, different sizes available depending on the size of the fireplace. That they would be installed in. Just a really clean, neat alternative. And interestingly enough, I find a lot of these more contemporary designs of fireballs being installed in historic homes in downtown Charleston. Huh. And I kind of wonder if it's sort of harkening back to the stacks of the cannonballs there on the battery.
Oh, yeah.
That might be what draws that. So,
yeah,
but whatever it is.
And they're kind of stacked up like a pyramid sort of thing, mm-hmm. The balls, right?
They are.
Nice. And the cannonball, that probably is that's probably a good guess. Also, I think just in any kind of historic home with like exposed brick and things like that, modern furniture or in this case a modern looking fireplace, I think just goes perfect with that kind of a setting.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And one of the things that William Smith Fireplaces is unique to you folks. You're not just going to you can buy the logs, pick out your logs, whether they're gas or electric. And with the gas, is it both natural gas and propane?
Either one. We sell most of our manufacturers produce these log sets in both gas options. If they were looking for something in particular, we do have some manufacturers who actually can create something more custom for them, you know, so lots of options there.
And so you're not just picking out the gas logs, if that's what you're going for, but William Smith Fireplaces also sells all sorts of different styles of mantles and fireplace surrounds, too. That's pretty cool.
That's correct. To be truthful, the stone surrounds, we only have about 15 or so different options with regards to the stone. It's different types of granite or marble, slate as well, and fairly neutral colors that would work with most any color palette in the home. But a lot of times, one of the things that we see is folks, in, especially with regards to an open concept living space in which the kitchen maybe is at one end of the home and the living room is at the other end of that same space, folks want to have the stone surround at their fireplace to be the same stone that they use on their kitchen countertops. It's not a problem. We can certainly work with that. We just want to pay attention because typically that stone that matches their countertops is going to be a thicker cut than what we would sell here. So we may have to fur the fireplace out a little bit further to accommodate the depth of that stone right there. But that's something we would go through with the builder to make sure that everything lines up the way it should be.
And are there different styles of mantles that are available?
Oh, yeah. We've got everything from your more traditional mantles, some that are fairly ornate, some that are cleaner lines. And then we have just simple shelf mantles, some that are more rustic looking, some that have a little bit more of a refined nature to it. And then we also have a company out of the upstate of South Carolina, Stoll Industries, who manufactures metal products for fireplaces, everything from your fireplace doors to mantel shelves. And those are available in probably somewhere in the neighborhood of around 30 different finishes, everything from your satin gold and to textured black and antique red. So like I said, there are lots of color options with that. And the benefit of a metal mantle is it's non-combustible, so it can be placed a lot closer to the fireplace opening than, say, a wood mantle would be. We also have a manufacturer who can build custom mantles. If a customer walks in the door and they have a drawing or a picture they found online of a mantle, and it's not one that is readily available, then we can contact our fellow who can build these mantles custom for them. So,
I was visiting one of our builder clients, a home that they had built, and their fireplace, it was maybe about 2 feet high and maybe 6 feet long. Mm-hmm. Does that ring any bells with you? Is that it was the most unique fireplace that I'd ever seen. Very modern.
I can't say no right off the top of my head. I'm not sure who that might have been. We've done quite a few sort of along those designs. I also did one, just finished it up about 6 months ago, I guess, on Daniel Island. It's actually a four-sided see-through fireplace. In other words, you can walk all the way around it and see the flame. There's no metal visible as far as a frame goes with this fireplace. It's all glass on all four sides, I think it's about 8 feet long by 2 feet wide, about 30 inches high in its opening design. So really a very, very unique custom fireplace there.
Well, that's great. And before we started the interview, you mentioned that the electric logs are one of the fastest growing segments for you folks. And are these electric logs? I can't imagine that anyone's going to buy something that looks cheap, cheesy, or you know, doesn't look realistic or anything like that.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, technology in all facets continues to evolve. And we've just actually this week met with one of our manufacturers who is coming out with a new electric fireplace that should be available for ordering the end of July. The company is Modern Flames, and they have a new fireplace. It's called the Orion Traditional. It's your traditional looking fireplace, but the flame presentation is a very authentic flame presentation. It doesn't look like the light reflecting on a glass panel or a mirror, like so many of the fireplace manufacturers do. But this is actual flame appearance. It has little sparks that will rise up from the flames, and it even makes a crackling sound. So, and it's available in your traditional sizes as well as a linear design. So again, that technology continues to evolve. And, you know, something else with regards to electric fireplaces, one of the latest developments in that field is the ability to install an electric fireplace outdoors, something that hasn't been available, as recently as, 3 or 4 years ago. But now there are a number of electric fireplaces that are rated for outdoor installations. Some of them are just about the looks. They don't produce any heat. Most of the electric indoor fireplaces are heat producers, not a significant amount of heat, about 5,000 BTU as compared to your gas logs, which may produce anywhere from 40,000 to 65,000 BTUs of heat. So it's certainly a diminished level of heat in the electric fireplaces. But the nice thing about that is, if it's July and you want to have your fireplace on, you can turn on that electric fireplace without the heat. So you get the appearance of a real fire, but you don't have to worry about the heat roasting you out of your home.
Yeah, that makes sense. I had a friend who has an outdoor fireplace, and he mm-hmm. had gas logs installed, but he mainly used the gas, or maybe it was a gas burner he had installed, and he didn't have mm-hmm. gas log. He would put wood burning logs on top of the burner, and then turn the burner on, and instead of having to go through the fuss of kindling and using some newspapers to get the fire started, he used the gas burner to actually get the mm-hmm. wood. Have you ever heard of something like that?
I have. Those are called log lighters.
That's what I need.
A very literal name. The one caution I do throw out with regards to log lighters is, well, the state of South Carolina actually frowns upon log lighters that are attached to a propane gas supply. Okay. Natural gas is a different story. So you've heard the stories or the tales of someone who tried to get their gas grill to light and it wouldn't start. They kept trying to get it to go. And finally it did ignite and there was that mini explosion. Maybe they lost eyebrows or hair on their arms or something like that. It's because propane is a heavy gas and it doesn't dissipate quickly at all. So if there's a delay in igniting that, then there is that potential for there to be injury and damage. Again, it's just because of the propane. Again, natural gas is a different story, much lighter gas. It dissipates much, much more quickly. And so there's not a problem with that. So folks just want to know what type of gas they have before they install a log lighter.
Right.
And that's whether it's done by us or anyone else, whether it's a builder or a plumber or whomever it may be. They just want to be sure that they are very cautious with that.
Well, no one likes to wait in line, and if you wait to call William Smith Fireplaces to maybe get your existing gas logs serviced or the chimney inspected to make sure. And what can happen with a chimney if it does need inspections, and about how often mm-hmm. should they be inspected?
I would say at least every 1 to 2 years to have them cleaned and inspected. It depends on how much someone uses their fireplace. And I'm speaking more specifically to wood burning fireplaces. If gas logs don't tend to produce nearly the level of byproduct as wood does. That wood burning creates soot and creosote, which then coats the interior of the fireplace. That stuff, it can ignite if it's not cleaned off regularly and can create a house fire or fire in that chimney, which then spreads into the framing of the home itself. So I would certainly recommend that, we inspect fireplaces, truthfully, the metal prefabricated fire boxes and their subsequent metal flue systems are not as prone to issues as the true masonry fireplaces that have those terracotta tiles in them. The terracotta tiles are mortared together. So over time, that mortar can dry out, chip away, can develop holes, which, again, if you're burning wood, it can allow sparks and embers to get through those cracks. And it doesn't take a large crack. You know, some of those embers and sparks can make their way through even the tiniest of cracks, settle on the wood framing of the home, and again, cause a fire. So I would recommend, again, every 1 to 2 years having that chimney swept and cleaned, inspected. Again, that's something that we do here at William Smith. So give us a call. We'd be glad to take care of you with that.
Yeah, and just to finish my thought before I interrupted myself, no one likes to wait in line, and if you wait until you get that first cold night and mm-hmm. and then you call William Smith Fireplaces, there's already going to be people that have contacted you to maybe have gas logs inspected or installed or maybe repaired, or the fireplace inspected. So this is probably the best time right now when it's sort of considered the off season there's probably not going to be a big line to have your fireplace and chimney inspected and your gas logs maybe repaired or replaced.
Exactly. Right now, when someone calls into our service department to schedule a cleaning or repair of some sort, they may be looking at a 1 to 2 week at the most time frame there. Come September, late September, early October, that's going to start packing very, very tightly from there. And it'll be that way on into February. So if someone calls us in November and says, hey, I need to get my logs cleaned, serviced, repaired, they need to be prepared themselves for it could be a 3 to 4 week, maybe even a little bit longer lead time on that. So it's best to have these things done right now. Your chimney, while you're not using it, this is a great time to get it inspected. Your logs, while they're not working or are not being used right now, it's a great time to have them checked out as well. You know, my service techs tell me frequently they went out to a home to service their logs and they couldn't do anything because the logs had just been on and they were too hot to handle. So, you know, those logs, people don't realize when they turn their gas logs off, the flame may go out, but it takes a good 24 hours for those logs to cool down enough to be handled like that. Otherwise, you know, not only would one of our service techs risk being injured, but if they drop that log on a, you know, beautiful hardwood floor or an oriental rug, you know, there's going to be some damage to those surfaces as well as a result of that. So folks just need to understand, don't call us or don't schedule service and use the fireplace the day that you're going to be serviced. So,
right. Yeah, I understand that. Well, what's the best way to reach out to William Smith Fireplaces and make sure to give the address of that beautiful new showroom that you folks have?
Absolutely. So we are at 6420 Dorchester Road in North Charleston. We're about a half mile, actually, past the airport turnoff on Dorchester Road, Michaux Parkway. Just continue on towards Somerville on Dorchester, and we are right there on the right. Our phone number is 843-766-0347. And, of course, folks can also see us online at williamsmithfireplaces.com, as well as on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We can be found at all of those locations also.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Tony Smith with William Smith Fireplaces, and you can always find William Smith Fireplaces within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, Tony.
Thanks, Tim.
Oh. talking about a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured in today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Tune in again next week.